Praise the Lord. Well, somebody pray for me because I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. Isn't that terrible? You know, your pastor turns up and says, I don't know. Hallelujah. Yes. We're speaking through the pillars of our church. And one of the pillars of the church is leadership. And many people in our town have asked us, how is your church run? And Pastor Andrew have shared with some of them, I share with some of them, that the church is governing in a way that the leadership lead the church. And many people, some people don't like that. Not necessarily in our church, but the people that ask questions from around the city, they said, well, what is that? Some time ago, our church went down because the church was no longer run by leadership. It was just like everybody was the same. I want you to know something, that in God, everyone is the same. But God dishes out different responsibilities to different people. And the greater responsibilities you have, the greater things you have to, the greater responsibility and accountability that you have. Are you okay? And it'll help us a lot to understand some of those things. Because a lot of people said, well, I'm led by the Spirit. That's very nice. But probably quite a dumb thing to say. Are we not led? We are led by the Spirit. But when it comes to the church, we are led through men. We are led through women. Hallelujah. Are you okay? In your home, everybody's the same. Your child has as much right to be there as you have. But if your 7-year-old leaves the home, there's something wrong with the home. While everybody is equal, different people have different responsibilities. And God has called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Now, if you don't like that, find another planet. Because there are people who will not submit to each other at home. And there are people who will not submit to each other in churches. And they think that they are right. When you come across one of those people, it's very hard to live with because they don't even agree with God. Hello? So you might as well find another planet or at least find another God. Now, you may not like that, but I was doing a wedding one time here, and I said, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And there were two ladies, and one of them was the mother of the bride. I said, I said, it can't change life. Everybody has to submit to everybody. The branch of the tree has to submit to the trunk of the tree. Otherwise, the branch will be dead. My shoulder has to submit to the rest of my body, otherwise my shoulder will be dead. My head has to submit to my shoulders, otherwise there'll be nothing left of me. Submission is life. And if you don't like it, you're dead. And then it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. If we can just understand those two things, life in the home will be very, very good. Now, you say, well, you tell me I'm to submit to my husband. I don't like him. Well, why did you marry him? Now, I always say this. You don't have to teach a wife to submit. All you have to do is love them. And you don't have to teach a husband to love. All you have to do is submit. Is a husband meant to submit? Yeah. The Bible says submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. So God has given people responsibilities, and God has given leadership in the church to lead the church. Are leaders always correct? No. I had a man ring me when we were in Los Angeles, and he did not know that we were 5 hours ahead. So it was 2:30 in the morning. And I said to him, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, the Lord showed me something in a dream." Well, I said, "Fine." So I went and rebuked my pastor. And he told me to leave the church. So I've been dialoguing with him. I said, "Why did you think you were correct?" He said, "Well, the Lord told me." I said, "How did you know the Lord told you?" "Well, God gave me a dream." I said, "You ding dong. How did you know it was given by God?" "Well, these were the faults that I saw in the pastor and confirmed in the dream." So I said, "Did you know that after Joseph's dream in the New Testament, there were no other dreams?" Now, some of you just learn something. "Did you know that dreams, God may still get you a dream, and God may still speak to you in a dream, but in the New Testament, we, as many as are led by dreams, say are the sons of God?" And then I said, "If you're led by the Spirit of God, you will be led by the Scriptures." So I said, "So why did your pastor kick you out?" He said, "Because I did wrong." I said, "True. But your pastor also did wrong." He said that he was being led by the Spirit to kick me out. I said, "Well, he probably was, but he did it wrong." See, this is where Spirit and Scripture connect. I said, "The Bible says if somebody's overtaken by a fault, you go and see him on your own. If he listens to you, fine. If he doesn't, take another person. So that in the mouth of two witnesses, everything's established. And if he doesn't listen to you two, then you tell the whole church. If he listens to the church, fine. If she doesn't listen or he doesn't listen to the church, kick him out of the church." I said, "Your pastor may have said that he's led by the Spirit, but he's led by the Spirit. He's wrong. You're wrong. He's wrong." Hello? See, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm led by the Spirit." You're not led by the Spirit outside of the Scriptures. Hallelujah. The Spirit wrote the Scriptures, and the Spirit is not going to violate His own writing. I just want to let you know. But why is leadership important to God? Do leaders have to submit? Everybody has to submit. The children have to submit to their parents, and the parents have to submit to the kids. It's a connection. You don't have to submit to what they say, but you have to listen to what they say. A lot of times we can learn a lot about being parents by the things that our children tell us. Hallelujah. Amen. On the other hand, the children need to heed what their parents say. Had a young man come to me and he said, "Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me that I am supposed to go overseas and go to this Bible college." I said, "What did your mother say?" "My mother said to go to this school, and it's not even a Bible college, and it doesn't have to do with ministry." I said, "Your mother's correct." "Pastor, but God told me." I said, "No, God did not tell you." He said, "But I prayed about it." I said, "Hello." So I said, "Your mother is correct." I said, "You mean... I said, "Do what your mother said." So you went to the school and got qualified and got married and met him again and now got children, raised a family. And I said, "Looking back now, do you think that you were right that you should have gone overseas to this Bible college?" He said, "No, Pastor, I was wrong." See, a lot of people think they're led by the Spirit when they're not. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Somebody was going, well, I've got a prophetic word for you, Pastor. I said, that's fine. Now, how do I test that? I will say, where do you go to church? Do you come to my church? No. Nope. What makes you think you've got a word for me? Now, if you come to my church, the next question is, do you tithe? Because if you don't, you haven't got a word for me. I don't care what you think you have. Are you okay? You're led by the Spirit. You're not led by the Spirit in a vacuum. You're led by the Spirit in relationship to things around us and what God has put in us. Hallelujah. The Prime Minister of Samoa may be the Prime Minister in Samoa, but when he comes here, he's not the Prime Minister of New Zealand. An elder in another church may be an elder in that church, but when he comes to our church, he's not an elder in our church. That, do we dishonor him? No, we don't dishonor him. Is the Prime Minister of Samoa going to be dishonored in New Zealand? No. But he has no jurisdiction in New Zealand. You understand that? Hallelujah. So why is leadership important to God? It's important to God because God will not do anything without leadership. Let that sink in a little bit. Because sometimes we are charismatized quite well that the least that understands government are charismatic Christians. The Bible says when Jesus was introduced that the government is on his shoulders. Before he was named, the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God has a government, and the church has a government. Tonga is a kingdom, but the kingdom has a government. Every kingdom has a government. Even the kingdom of God has a government. And the church of the living God has governments. Is there only one way to govern the church? No, it's not. Hallelujah. But we try as much as we can. We don't always do things right. And we're not the church. We're just part of the church. Hallelujah. There are other churches that think that they are the church. And they can't. I remember being in a group of clergy. And one man from a particular denomination said, well, I can't have communion with you because you are not the real church. But we were having communion, we were having a retreat. And this man was a minister in our city. And he said, well, I can't call this communion because it's only communion is only in our church. And I'll just partake with you, but it's not communion to me. I wanted to be Samoan, but I also realized I was a Christian. Are you all right? So you may think your church is pretty good until you meet somebody else and they think, well, your church is not that good. And I speak to a lot of people and some people will love our worship. They love coming here, but they don't like coming here because it's leadership led. They want to be congregational led, where everything is voted on. And what the pastor shares on Sunday is voted on by the deacon board. And they'll tell the pastor what to say. Hello? Thank God. God so loved the world that He didn't send a congregation. God so loved the world that He didn't send a deacon board. God so loved the world that He didn't send an eldership. God loved the world that He gave His Son. And we said when we shared, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of sorrow, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Behold, the sons and the daughters are the heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall meet with the enemy at the gate. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So God does not do anything outside of leadership. And if God's going to do something, God's primary purpose is not to do it. God's primary purpose is finding somebody. When God finds that person, then the thing that God wants to do will be done. But until God finds that person, what He wants to do will never be done. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. And it hasn't changed. God's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Let me give you something that is general and broad, and we'll probably not get into it today, but this is not the end of the world. When God wanted to teach faith, God's problem was not the teaching of faith. God's problem was finding somebody. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro or throughout the earth to search out those whose hearts are towards God. And when God finds the person, and God will take what He wants to do and put it in that person. So when God wanted to teach faith, God went to the Ur of the Chaldees and found a man named Abraham. And the traditional story is Abraham, the son of Terah. Terah was an idol worshiper, and he worships all these idols, and one day Abraham went into the workshop and demolished every idol there was when his father was away. And when his father came back, everything was in chaos. I mean, every idol was in pieces. But Abraham left one idol standing, and his father said, "What happened here?" And Abraham said, "It must be his fault. He's got a hammer. He put a hammer in the idol's hand." And his father said, "How can that thing that has no life demolished?" And then he said to his father, "Well, why do you worship it?" Now, that's not in the Bible. That's tradition. That's a historical tradition of the Jews. But God took Abraham and bring faith out of the heart of God and put faith inside Abraham, until faith is not just a name now. It's not just a word. Faith is no longer just a concept. Faith is now flesh and blood. And then He sent us Abraham. Now you know that. We've shared that before. When God wanted to teach wisdom, He went to Israel, found the son of the king, and grabbed wisdom and put wisdom inside that boy, until wisdom now has a name, Solomon. He wanted to teach suffering. He went to Uz, found a man named Job, and put sickness, hello, put suffering inside of him. And if you want to learn faith, you go and ask Abraham. If you want to learn wisdom, you go ask Solomon. If you want to learn suffering, you go and ask Job. If you want to learn long suffering, you go and ask Noah. If you want to learn worship, you go and ask David. If you want to learn power, you go and ask Elijah and Elisha. Because these are concepts, and the Word made flesh and dwell among us.
And God's problem is not doing what he wants to do. God's problem is finding somebody where the word can be made flesh. And when God finds a person, then that person becomes the instrument that will release that revelation of God. But all of those are bits and pieces. One day God wanted to reveal everything. God wanted to send wisdom and faith and love and everything else in one person. But he couldn't find any person. So he turned to his right hand. He said, "Son." The son said, "Yeah, I'll go." And when the son came, everything about God was encompassed. The fullness of the Godhead dwell in Jesus bodily. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwell among us. And when you go and ask Abraham, "Teach me faith," Abraham will say, "Go ask Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith." If you want to go and ask Job, "Teach me suffering," he said, "Go ask Jesus. He was marred more than any other man." Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you want, you go and ask the Son. God made flesh. Are you okay? Now today, God wants to do something in Tomorunui. God does not turn up in Tomorunui and do it. God has to find somebody first and then send that person to Tomorunui. And until God finds that person, he will not do anything. You know what the Bible says? God will not do anything on the earth until he reveal his will and find a prophet. Hello? Now the Bible says this. God sits in heaven, he does whatever he wants. But when it comes to earth, hello? How does he do it? He finds a man. God will not do anything on the earth until he finds a man. He finds a woman. Reveal his will and send that person. Are we on the same page now? Okay. I've got 7 minutes. So God will not do anything until he finds somebody. God will not do anything outside of leadership. Now, for 400 years, the people in Egypt were praying for a redeemer, a savior. Now, the question I want to ask you, do you think God heard the prayer? Now, how come it took him 400 years to answer the prayer? He was looking for somebody. And when God found that person, the prayer was answered. And many times we'll be, God. Hello? The answer to our prayer many times is us. You say, "Lord, send forth laborers to the field." Now, who are the laborers? The prayers. "Well, I wish somebody will start a home group." Start. "Well, I wish..." Hello? God is looking for laborers, and everyone that will put their hand up can help. So, hello? God wants you and I to hear, to take a lead. But God leads through leadership. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So when God found Moses, and God prepared Moses, then God sent Moses, and when Moses turned up, 3 million people were delivered. Now listen, 3 million people on their own having a meeting can't get out by themselves. You see, that's a lot of people. You mean to tell me God does things through leadership? Now, they probably will have an AGM and said, "What are we going to do? So they outvote each other and never get anywhere until this guy turned up. And when he turned up, they got delivered. Are you okay? And there are things God will never do in a city, in a church, until somebody is there. We say, well, God hasn't found me yet. I beg your pardon. Hallelujah. Say amen. And many times when you lead, see, a lot of our church love me as a pastor. You will hate me as a leader. And every now and again, people ask, is the pastor all right? What's wrong with him? Nothing's wrong with him. But pastoring and leading are two totally different things. And many of you would love me as a pastor. Because if I pastor, I hug you. If I lead, I don't hug you. I've got a job to do. And there are people that will leave the church because they don't get a hug. There are people that will leave the church because they don't get a handshake. There are hand waggers everywhere. But many leaders will not hug you. Many leaders will not shake your hand. Many leaders will tell you you're wrong. And if you don't like them, you know what they say? Stiff pickies. And he said, does he care? Why does he say that? Because he's got a job to do. And he wants the job to be done. Because when it comes to that, he's not accountable to you for the job to be done. Guess who's accountable to? And he has to give an answer to the one that gave the assignment. Because if he doesn't do it, he can't go back to him and say, I've done it. Are you all right? Pastors visit hospital. Leaders most often don't. And he said, do those guys care? Their job is very different. Their job is to orchestrate things so that the people in the hospital can be visited and the people that need help can be helped. But if he has to go to the hospital and he has to go everywhere, guess what? You will bury him in 3.5 weeks and none of you will bring any flowers to his grave. Are you all right? My time's up. Two more minutes. Come on. Hallelujah. Probably the greatest leader that ever lived was Jesus. Did he love people? Yes, that's why he died. But you would not want to be in the temple when he was kicking people out. And don't tell me that was nice little courts. They were not. And don't tell me he was a weak little lamb. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. You know what he does? He works in the carpenter shop. He had ripping muscles. He turned everything. If he can turn everybody in that temple out on his own. Hello? Why did he do that? Leading. Cup of tea.